Hi, I'm Kim.
I'm Tora.
And this is our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. Thank you so much for joining us for another episode. As always, we've got four topics, 15 minutes each, and we're going to dive right in. Our first topic tonight is the fact that they're selling melanin on the market.
And it's worth more than gold. Like, last time I checked, gold was $1,500 an ounce, which I have some stock in gold, so I'm always checking it. So if it's worth more than $15 an ounce and it's a solid, melanin is a liquid, at least what I'm seeing on the internet, it's a liquid. Can you only imagine if it's worth more, its weight in gold? Like, and I know that white people have melanin too, but we have the majority of it. Ours is the real thing, you know. There's
we have a higher volume of it, and we also have, I believe, a different form called neuromelanin.
That's what I heard too.
Yeah,
and I don't know if you heard it or not, but everything is a conspiracy until you can see it in front of your face to me. But I heard that they found some life form or alien form in Antarctica, and they're trying to either bring it back to life with melanin or treat it with melanin. Or
they're not going to be satisfied till our ancestors come back and wipe their asses off the planet. They always, now this is a little bit off topic, but did you see that ritual in Switzerland that they were doing? Because that sounds sort of like what you're saying, and it's a little complicated. I'll pass. We're talking about melanin.
No, go into it, please.
Well, there's a ritual that they were doing in Switzerland, and they were connecting it to CERN, you know, CERN.
Yeah.
The big particle collider that they're using,
absolutely,
probably to try to open a portal.
Absolutely.
And so then they were out there doing a ritual with a bunch of people wearing animalistic costumes with horns and all kind of stuff. And people are like, well, it seems like they're trying to summon Satan himself through the portal in CERN. Now, I don't know about Satan and all of that, but certainly it looked to be some dark demonic energy. So when you say they're maybe trying to use melanin, there's something, and we talked about this before, there's something they're trying to do that we're just not getting. And it's something of a supernatural nature, because you don't need to inject melanin into a dead life form,
right,
or to go out and be doing a ritual if you're not trying to invoke something on a supernatural level.
But do you have to, everything that you said, take it into consideration, do they have to believe that it's them that they're waking up? Do they think it's another like form in Caucasian form or Asian form?
Oh, I don't know.
Do they even, like, are they looking for that? Or because everything in our history that I have been looking into and learning and teaching myself is everything begins with African blood.
Right.
So are you going to wake up something and then it comes back and finds out you've mistreated it?
That's what I think they're going to end up getting more than they're bargaining for. I think that, as I've said before, that they are serving an entity on another dimension that's of a dark nature.
Mm-hmm.
And they think they're doing stuff that's going to finally make them the true and final victors. But as you're even indicating, I think they're dealing with things that they really don't understand. And, you know, I don't know.
Because when they come back and they see that you had Liz Taylor playing our sister, they're going to be like, what?
When they come back and see what?
That they had Liz Taylor playing our sister.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You know, like the Queen of Egypt. Like, girl, why? They're going to be like, really, y'all? Come on.
And that they murdered us and raped us and took our kids from us and stole us from our land.
Right there.
And all of those things. I agree with you. The original, everybody knows that. Like, even on one of those TikTok videos, I put up the oldest skeleton in Britain was a black man they call Cheddar.
Yeah.
And so everywhere.
But why now? Why now are you telling us that? You mean to tell me, that's no way the name and all of that just, you discovered it. You knew this all along. Why are they telling? And I send you clippings, and I send my whole family clippings all the time about how Caucasian men, CEOs, bankrolling money men are just starting to say, and it's almost like they physically drain, like, white people, we have lied for years. Black people are the original people. And we stole and raped and plumaged and pilfered them. You know, it's like they're saying it like this. And you're like, why, hold on. Why are you telling us this now? Like, who's telling you to say this? Or what are you trying to rewrite? Like, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It's almost like when someone beats you up and then turns around and say sorry. It's like, no, it don't fix my black eye. You know, I mean, the pain is still here. I'm still wearing the scars. So is that what they're doing? They admitting to their wrong, but we still wearing the black eye and the scar, but they're saying they sorry for it now?
I'm not sure. I mean, I'm really not sure. I'm not sure because, like I said before, they've been doing a plan for centuries. And we're really just waking up to understand that there is a plan against us. So I'm always still trying to figure out exactly what is it that they're doing. And right now, I don't really have the answer to that.
What does it feel like to you, though? Because I feel like we got the God-given gift of feeling. To me, it feels like when somebody beats you up and then they don't even realize they're wrong. They don't even care they're wrong. They just got caught. And now everybody sees that they beat you up and they committed a crime. And now they're apologizing for it. And they want everyone to rally around them and say, it's okay. It's okay. Everyone makes mistakes. That to me is the feeling I'm getting. Cause it's like, why are you telling me things that I want to know and appeasing me now? Why are you doing this?
So that's not a feeling that I'm getting. As I had mentioned before, a lot of this stuff I already have seen or known, like not the specific people that you're talking about, mm-hmm. but the information was already there. But okay. It seems to me, so some of us who have been studying for some years have been aware of certain things, okay. but I do agree with you that it's becoming way more widespread. So things that I might have said to somebody 3 years ago, or that I didn't say because I knew they would look at me like I was absolutely insane. Absolutely. Now people will say to me or send me a video and I'm like, oh, so that's out now. So I do think that there is an increase in the amount of information. Mm-hmm. I also think, I mean, a lot of us think this, that there are some universal laws. And as a part of that, there is an obligation to disclose stuff to us, but we don't always realize it's being done.
Universal laws, meaning?
That there are things that have to be, laws that have to be complied with, even as they're screwing us over. Mm-hmm. So you will notice that like in The Simpsons, mm-hmm. in certain movies, mm-hmm. in certain forum, they will share truth. Like straight truth that is unbelievably true. Now it can go over your head, you may miss it or whatever, but it's there. And it's mm-hmm. been, and you may think it's a movie, just a made up creative something, but they have put the truth in your face. And okay. this stuff now seems like they're accelerating the level of disclosure.
Right.
Why? I don't know, but I feel that they have to. They must really have some stuff planned for us, but it's not going to work. Their reign is over. It's not
about
gonna work.
15 years ago, I saw this thing on, I don't know, some news channel. You know, it's probably Date Night or whatever it's called.
Oh, Dateline. I remember that show.
Mm-hmm. And you know, they used to really dive deep into stuff. And this was before the black guy who used to wear the earring cut, I don't know why I'm not remembering
Max,
his name. He passed away.
Yeah. Max Robinson? No. Mm-hmm. Another not, one. I know who you're talking about.
As soon as you say his name, it's a very famous name.
Yes, he wore the earring toward the end.
Yeah, very nice, soulful black man. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying?
I can't think of his name. I know who you're talking about, though.
He went to the Catholic Church. And this was 15, I mean, years ago, or maybe even more than 15 years ago, but he was there and they did this whole thing where they showed everything about, you know, the Catholic Church. And then they said, now down these stairs, this is the basement. And it was miles underground under the Catholic Cathedral.
Where they say all of our stuff is.
All of our stuff. And let me tell you, they didn't even say that during that interview. I was gifted with the knowledge of that's where our stuff is. Mm-hmm. And it said it was in the top security, is bulletproof, burn proof, whatever proof room. And I'm thinking this is 15 years ago because it doesn't hit like it does when it did there. Now it's because of the technology. They were saying the technology that we have now they were talking about this 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like camera phones and all of that. That's, yeah, we were in the making of that and it was coming up and cell phones were, but this technology was even far more advanced. Like these, you could be on the East Coast and see that somebody had breached or tried to breach the security here and at the Catholic Church. Like the security of it was, they saying you could see it from space, you could see it from under the ground.
And they disclosed all of that? Because we know that they are way...
No, they're saying this stuff now of how great the security was.
But are
was.
You saying that 15 years ago they disclosed...
15 years ago they were just saying the bare minimum, that it's the most high, you know, okay. This has more security than the president of the United States, you know, this has more, it's more thick, the walls are thicker than like your kitchen, you know what I mean? From one end of your kitchen, other walls were like, and it was room control, temperature control. And they were saying all of this back then, but now they're really telling you how the technology they had back then to secure our stuff. But why? Why and how?
Oh, well, you know why they're securing our stuff and why they're hiding it. Because if we ever get an inkling of who we really are and how powerful we are and what our history really is, it's a wrap for them. And that's the problem now. Even with them still slowly spoon feeding us, you notice yourself, I'm sure, people are just waking up. People who never had a clue, we were all conspiracy theorists, they didn't believe anything. People are waking up left and right. And yeah. So we're moving into a new age. Things are going to change.
I agree. And they're saying it's a real live Killmonger who just smashed in these museums and like taking stuff like this is belongs to us. And you know what I think back to? I think back to Sinead O'Connor. She was to me the groundbreaker of all people. Like she should be held up to me right now.
The
like
white lady with the bald head?
Yes, remember?
I just remember one song of hers. I don't even remember what it was now.
The reason why she was outed is because she ripped up a picture of the Pope. Because back in the day, good God, it had to be over 32 years ago, because I think the song was out before my son was born. But she ripped up at her concert the picture of the Pope because she called him a liar, child molester. She was the first. Okay. She was the first. Okay. And I feel so bad that she opened that door. And so many people didn't run in because there were so many white boys who had been molested and raped by these people. And it's like, okay, so if you all grow up and take an oath and not repeat the cycle, but you know that these people were wrong from the start for doing this to you, and it's so many of you, how come you all aren't like, look, let's, I don't care about what the world is gonna turn out to be. I'm gonna tell the truth and I'm gonna tell what we've been hiding. You know what I'm saying? Like if you victimize
some people do
and I got it.
Into power. Some people don't want you to know they've been molested. They mm-hmm. do know that the Catholic Church is very powerful and will okay. come after you.
Okay.
They know all that. So some people do care. And another thing that I
might
believe, that I think I've come to believe, is that there is a time for everything.
Okay.
And sometimes people come before it's time.
Like okay.
Maybe Sinead O'Connor, maybe Martha Davis, I don't know. But people come before it's time and they're not caught, nobody catches on to it until the proper time when it all picks up steam.
I guess you're right. I guess you're
right. I'm not sure, that's just my theory. It seems to me that that's
true. I can feel like if I was put in an organization and they tortured me and I climbed the ranks because I endured that torture, kept that secret, and now that I'm in power, everything under me is about to fall apart. And I guess that's
you're forgetting that part about, about the reality of how they got to the powerful point. You really don't get there unless you pledge your allegiance to the entity. Mm-hmm. So unless you agree to keep the secrets of the secret society to serve whatever it is that they're serving, you're never going to get powerful. So the very few who make it to that powerful position are pledged to that.
But if you have a group of people looking around you, you can look in their eyes and you can see, and they can see that you went through the same thing. Y'all don't want to band together and be like, look, let's shut this down. We know this is built on lies. We know this is built on untruth. Let's shut it down now. We all went through, like, who's the person in the group that's like, well, they victimized us, they hurt us, but let's just keep this horrible institution alive? Who
they
does
know
that?
More than we do how powerful that institution is. they'll take out their whole group of people and get somebody else who's eager to sell their soul and put them in position for the fame and the wealth. Yeah. It's deeper than what it appears
to be. I think that's always more what I'm fascinated by, that the organization of it. Like, how do you keep people that you hurt in order? How do you keep them in order? Like, they're already broken and hurt. You know
the
what I'm saying?
Trauma is, and when you study how they do the MK Ultra stuff, the trauma is part of the mind control. The trauma is what breaks the brain to allow the program
trust
to
itself
in more effectively. So that trauma is a whole part of the process. That's a big topic. We should come back to that. I mean, there are just so many parts to that. If we could talk about that.
I would love to dive in more and more and more on, you know, that part of life, because I'm fascinated on that type of thing. Like when you traumatize somebody, and then I know it's called Stockholm syndrome, but.
And also sometimes when I look on the internet, I don't see things that I even saw 5 years ago, but there were CIA documents telling in detail about those experiments and what worked and what didn't. So maybe we do a little research one day and have an episode on that, because it's fascinating. But number two is that men have been on the internet talking about the power of the female sexual organ.
Yes, this is, okay, so it's so much on the internet with men alone. You've got your gay male, you've got your strong black male, you've got your criminal male who, you know, is posting from jail on his cell phone. You've got all you've got all these different layer of men. So it's kind of hard to focus if you are one track mind person, but I try to go in all the avenues. I try to at least have my brain open to everything. But now there is this man who feels like he wants to snitch and tell the secrets of the male conversation, which I wanted one of my friends.
Oh, I love that. Could you tell us his name, Tori?
Right. I'm going to get it to you. I'm going to send it to you as soon as
we finish. Yeah, because I want to hear. I want to hear the locker room conversation.
That's my point. And that's why I wanted to have like one of my male friends on, so we could do some locker room talk, because those are the questions that, but I think I have somebody else we might can get on to talk about that. But this is what I wanted to say about that is these men, this guy and these men, he has a group of friends or whatever, they're having locker room conversations and they're talking about like, women are so dumb. They don't even know the power. They can walk out the house and just, and I'm just thinking.
They walk out the house and do what?
Because we have the vagina, we can own and have any and everything. Like they're saying,
clowns, stop giving it away.
We can walk on a car lot and be like, I want a car, you know.
What we need.
We have this.
But what we need, my mother and I have talked about this for decades.
Really?
What we need is other women, not that. We've talked about the fact
I'm talking about like
other
the power
women, other women to stop downgrading the power of, let's call it feminine charm, by giving it away for free and acting like a fool. So how am I going to walk on the lot and be like, boop, I got this thing.
Right.
We have it. When these guys are parading down the street with a bra and panties on and saying, come get it, look, I'm dropping to my knees. I mean, I need everybody to get information, as Beyonce would say, so that we can utilize that power.
My best friend mother had that conversation with us. She said, a woman in a bathing suit, in a two-piece bathing suit, and a woman with a nun's outfit on, who do you think a rape is going for first? And we all said the bathing suit. She said, no, the nun. He said he already knew what she working with. He said he can't figure out, he want to figure out what's under that. I was like, what?
Also, you know, like I was saying, rape is a crime of power, not of sex. So it would be more powerful for someone to rape a nun who clearly does not want to engage than to just have it with somebody who's slinging it everywhere. Yep. There's no power involved in that. They'll give it to anybody.
That's exactly what she used to tell us. And so she used to always say, it doesn't matter what you wear or how you wear it. At the end of the day, you know, men are always going to want, because that was the bigger picture of it. Men want what they can't see and can't have. And if you're giving it away, and she meant it in the best terms, you know, that was just her strongest analogy to give us. But like, if you're going to be the type of person out there, like you just said, just giving it away, you know what I'm saying? You're going to devour yourself. If you're the type of person that's going to hold on to yourself, ration yourself off, that's the one the good guy's going
to
want.
Remember they used to say, leave something to the, they don't even say this
imagination
anymore.
They don't
leave
say that anymore.
Yeah, they don't even know what that means. Leave something to the imagination. Don't show everything. Mm-hmm. Leave something to be discovered. Girl, you can't tell these people that. They're like, well, why? Mm-hmm. When I can just whip it out and walk down the street.
And I want to understand it, because even my daughter the other day said to me, she's like, Ma, I think I'm just going to be an IG model and make some money. And I said, why do you want to do that? And I was like, is that really what you want to do? Because I don't think you have the work ethic to do it. I said, you really have to put yourself.
You said that to her? Oh, yeah. You have to be putting out those videos all the time.
Oh, my God.
Yes. And I had to do all that. Why would she want to do that? She just want to say that because she wants money, or does she really want to do that?
Both, I think. I think she really wants to do it, and I think she wants to do it for the money. I think she wants both. But in my mind, I think so much more of her that I don't get her vision. I'm like, I don't see it. So then she calls me back the next day and says, well, Mom, I just want to let you know. I said, I already know. You're getting your lips filled. She's like, how do you know? I said, I already told you. I saw it in my dream. Mom, stop doing this. And I was like, well, go ahead. But just not
getting her lips plumped up. We already got
this. Did it already. She showed me today. She did it already.
How does it look?
A mess. I think it looks a mess.
Is she happy with it?
Of course.
No, because sometimes they feel like they made a mistake, but she is what she wanted. And it looks the way she wanted it to
look. She wants it all.
Did she do a video yet? Because I need to check it out.
I'm quite sure it's probably coming up, but I was like, you look a mess. You look like a duck. Quack, quack. I love you, ducky. I always wanted a rubber duck. So I'm saying all this. She was like, Mom, her boyfriend. She was like, Mom, Zach's mom said I look really pretty. I said, yeah, but she's
going to take it later on. This.
Oh, of course. Victoria is so solid with her own self. She cares.
Okay, so it's Mia.
Yeah, it's Mia. Mia is the person, she will pick everything apart about herself and try to put
she
it back together.
She doesn't post on TikTok anymore, does she?
She has, and she does, but it's not as much as Victoria does.
And
like,
she's
Victoria
the one,
has her business.
And she's the one who somebody stole her Instagram, right?
Yeah, she got it back. Yeah, we got the FBI involved, so she got it back.
Okay. But, well, Mia, we love you. What's wrong? What are you doing?
I told her father today. I said, she ain't that stuff from me. I said, she ain't get it from me either. I said, well, she got it from somebody, because she ain't get it from me. And then she
got
like,
it from this society, constantly telling her that Black women are not enough. I know you've been nurturing her and telling her otherwise, but sometimes it slips in, and our girls are like, Yeah,
it dived in on her. It ain't even slipped. Because trust me when I tell you, she is one of those people that I keep telling her everything that, like, I've been on movie sets and I've been on modeling sets. And I tell her, they don't look like the filter you're putting on your phone. I said, Mia, you walk past these people every day and you think, oh my God, when you see them on the internet, they're so flawless. They're so pretty. I said, I promise you, they look like men. And they look like gorillas. And they
look like anorexic sticks, because I've seen some of them. And what I think is, oh my God.
Well, she wants the Fashion Nova one. She's obsessed with the Fashion Nova.
Oh, that's why she wanted to be male.
Yeah. She's obsessed with that. And
she has a man who apparently is really, and she stayed with a boyfriend. So what is it that she thinks that this, what is it going to get her that she doesn't have?
Because she'll send me stuff like she wants to have her nose done. And she'll send me operations of Black women who've had their nose done, because they're not doing it the Janet Jackson way anymore. They're more so just doing the little contouring of the bridge, like the side parts of the nostrils.
They can do that with their makeup, girl. They can do that with makeup these days.
I don't know. In her brain, she has this vision of herself that I just don't know where it's. I hope she grows out of it, but it's too late.
She may not. So what is so her boyfriend and the boyfriend's mother think the lips look great?
Well, no, she wouldn't tell me what the boyfriend said. I think he was in the car when I was messing with her. So she just said, she was like, well, Zach's mom thought, you know, and she thought I looked pretty. I said, yeah, but she gonna text him a few minutes later and say, you ain't really me a friend, because you should have told her you look ridiculous. And she was like, no, she's not gonna say that. I said, let me tell you, Mia, you were beautiful before. I said, you were beautiful after.
It's really not good.
All that.
I mean, is that okay, let's say that we're another generation and we know that nobody, no Black woman needs that. But putting that aside, just looking at it, does it look okay?
I guess I'm looking at it from a mom's point of view. Like, I have no lips.
Yes, you do.
Oh, this is lipstick. I have no lips.
I mean, I went to school in Wisconsin. People, when we would get on the bus and laugh at them to ourselves because no lips is this.
Okay. So I
and
have
that's
more
their
than
actual lips.
Okay, right.
And we
right.
And then my sore would be, Kimmy, look at that one, look at that one. And I'm like, oh, girl, cut it out. We just die laughing, you know.
See, but she has, they're very full now. And she already had full lips. She was born from birth, out the womb. First thing the nurse said to her was, look at those kissy lips. And she's always had them. So I don't understand why
both
she feel like
she's
are
gorgeous. I don't know what
her dad has full lips. And Mia, Victoria does and always wanted full lips like her dad and Mia. So that's what makes me mad that Mia already had them. But she claims that there was a little imperfection in the top part. And it, so she feels like she had a divot and now it just smoothed it out. I don't see it like that. So
and what you also have to know, what I think, in their generation, everything is exaggerated. Everything is so far over the top. So any natural thing is not going to be enough because they need their eyelashes to cover their hair. They need, you know, it's all.
No, you're right. And this gets back to what the guy was saying. He was saying that women don't even know that when they walk out the house in their natural form, that they're holding on to this golden box, you know, and that's what I'm trying to get across to Mia. I'm like, Mia, you don't understand. The generation you're growing up in, they accept the Play-Doh butt and breast. They are accepting of that, but they are hunting for the natural woman now.
Now,
it's like,
let's talk about that for a second. Because how many videos and YouTubes and TikToks and everything, Instagram posts, do we see talking about, I only want a natural woman, and then they're walking around with a BBL person saying one thing and doing another. So what does their generation, even the older generations, what do men really value? Because they say one thing, but they appear to be doing another.
Every time I've turned around and I've seen who they cheated on their beautiful women with, that they call beautiful women, it's always a natural woman.
Okay.
Natural as can get. And I'm thinking, oh, you want this eye candy. Y'all both want eye candy, but the guy really wants the eye candy. He wants you to, like, is it Meek Mill? No, it's not Meek Mills. It's Gucci, like his wife. The rapper Gucci wife.
So it's like Keisha or something?
It's like Keisha something. Now, facially, you look at her on a magazine, you look at her when she step out the house, she looks like she's been carved out of clay. My thing is this, that's beautiful for the pictures. That's but I wish she would at least show what she looks like in her natural form. You know what I mean?
Check her out. I haven't paid her. I just heard that she was really loyal to him. That's all I really know about.
Yeah, there's not a stitch out of place on this sister. Like, her hair is always flawless. Makeup, clothes, body, nothing is out of place. But then I feel like there's so many people that look at her, not saying she needs to raise anybody kids. I just feel like she has so many people looking at her like, I want to look like that. And it's like, tell her you don't even look like that. Like, I just,
there was a movement of that for a while. Do you remember when they were trying to show that the magazine was photoshopped and this and that, and this is how we looked before and all of this, but it seems to have gone away and gone to
Alicia Keys did an amazing job. And I know she's a light-skinned biracial sister, but she was like, I need to show the world that this is what real women look like. Alicia Keys.
Oh, like, yeah, I love her natural,
and she's never gone back yet. She has
not. I don't even
think
she's trying to show the world. Swiss Beats, her husband said, that's just how she is. She prefers to be natural. So one time I put up a picture with no makeup on Facebook. It probably still is. Oh, it's not. Mm-hmm. It was I never hardly ever wear makeup. But then people were like, I see you all natural. I'm like, you see me every damn day all natural. I barely put anything on, but okay.
I never put any makeup on. I do lipstick because my lip color is the same color as my face. So it just looks like I'm bland right there. But 90% of my time, I don't even have on lipstick. I usually only put it on when I'm traveling or I'm doing this. So other than that, I normally don't even have anything on. I make up anything. And the reason why, I feel full enough. You know what I'm saying? And that goes
back. I've never been into a lot of makeup. It's never been my thing. I don't know why.
Neither.
I've purchased it and not used it. I probably have foundation somewhere. Really, I'll just go ahead and touch up my eyebrows and throw some mascara on and some lipstick. That's my whole routine. So if I have to do something better, I have to get some like those glamour shots on my business cards and stuff. I had to have somebody come in and make me over because I'm not into that stuff.
And I literally had a comment, it's been a little while back, it was this year, but where I was around two guys and were men, and they had made a comment about something, and the guy said, you look nice or something like that. And I was like, oh, thank you. I said, I don't have to have the BBL surgery to look nice. He literally was like, what? Hell, man, that stuff is for birds. You keep on letting people think y'all need this or whatever. I was like, no, I don't need it. I just haven't had a compliment in years because I thought that's the only thing all the guys were looking for. I said, I see them walking. I was at the casino. So that's all you see is, I don't know where they're going to get this fixed.
The casino in Vegas or in Maryland?
I was in the casino in MGM in Maryland.
Okay.
And so
you saw a lot. I don't see a lot. Oh, well, a little bit.
That's all I see is people who've had Fix-A-Flat put in them. All I see is women who've had their breasts done, their butt done, and they all look like chicken wings to me. You know, the chicken drumsticks to me. And that's all I see.
Right, because their legs are too skinny. But let me circle back to your initial statement. Mm-hmm. What did the guys say we should be doing to take advantage of the power of this box, this golden box that we have?
He was saying we don't know it. Like women don't know the power that they do have. He didn't give away that secret yet what we can do. That's why I think we need to have that discussion because I don't carry myself like that. I don't carry myself like when I step out the house thinking, so y'all want what I want? And I can look like this, like I don't have to have all the surgery.
I don't think that either, but many women mm-hmm. say that they get the most play when they're looking their tackiest. They got their sweats on.
That's what, that is the truth. I have seen times where I have had rollers in my hair. I've thrown on just some sweatpants and a t-shirt and sneakers to run to get something from the store. And I'm getting checked out like, just thinking to myself, what in the hell is, you don't, like, what?
One man said on social media that the reason they like us when we look like that is they know if we can look that good in our natural state, oh Lord, she's going to be the bomb when she tries to fix herself up. But I don't know. Okay, so
that's so good. I like that too, though.
Moving on to topic number three. Oh my God, which is the social media post of that man kicking the Black woman in her face and knocking her down to the bottom of the escalators, which I was thinking, think about those escalators, those metal, jagged edges. It didn't show, the part I saw didn't show any aftermath.
No.
But that was one of the most horrendous things I've ever seen. I can't even imagine the thought process of the guy who did that. And they say that all she complained because he pushed past her mm-hmm. and we saw him turn around and kick her in her face.
It just makes me mad because people like me, that kind of stuff doesn't happen to. I'm always quick on my feet. Like as soon as he turned around, I'm ready for whatever smoke he bringing. You kick, we both going down this escalator.
Yeah, grab that foot. I'm grabbing your leg.
We both going down here and you better believe it's not going to be pretty when we get down to the bottom of it. Because I'm biting you. I'm doing whatever I can do to make you regret that you ever came at me like this. Like, and I felt like they do it to, they can pretty much sense the weak, you know, because she probably said something slick out of her mouth, like, why you push past me like this? Or you are so rude, you know, something like that. Me, he pushed past me. I would have been like, okay. Like when you cut me off in traffic, yeah, you're going to wish you hadn't have done that. You know what I mean? You're going to wish you hadn't have done that.
This is the thing that really occurred to me. I actually even made the comment on the post that I had seen. And I said, And Black people think there are no consequences to constantly calling us bees and hoes.
Yep, it's consequences.
They have the whole world disrespecting us. That guy didn't look to have any remorse. He didn't, it just was like
a video game. He didn't even look like he thought he would ever get in trouble or no one would stop him or help. He had no thought process. Like, what if three Black men are at the top of this escalator and they saw that? He didn't even think like that. You know what I mean?
But he didn't seem afraid. He didn't seem angry. He didn't seem, it was just like, this is how I roll.
And kicked her down. Turned around and walked up the escalator as if nothing happened.
The turnstile, and then the white lady, I saw the white lady behind her, just walk on up like, oh, well, sorry for you, but doesn't concern me.
Even though he pushed past her, and so she probably was speaking for everyone, you know, who he pushed past. But no one saved her. She wasn't the only one.
Even if she wasn't speaking for all of them, why didn't somebody reach out and try to grab her? I mean, this hard, jagged edge escalator, and I saw her go all the way down to the bottom.
Mm-hmm. I just saw on Instagram, these slow police officers was chasing after this young Black girl, and they were yelling, stop her, stop her. And a white guy was recording. He said, I am not gonna stop her. What do you mean stop her? He was like, you're supposed to be a good Samaritan. He's like, nah, I ain't that good. But there was another white guy that was helping the police chase her down, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, he was booking it too, but she smoked all of them. But it was the point that they look out for one another, you know, they look out for one another. And it's like, I wish that there are some brothers, and I know they can't be everywhere, but the brothers aren't stepping up. And that's something I wanted to talk about, because I thought I'd put his name down, I did see, of course, him pop up on my phone after we got off our last podcast. But this brother, he breaks down the dynamic between Black male and Black female. And up until like 2019, Black males outranked Black women. Like, they were, I'm just giving a fake scenario. Like, they were 3 million Black men in
the United States. Outnumbered us?
Outnumbered us, right. Now, I shouldn't say outranked. Yes.
That has to include the prison population and the babies and all, that's just all together.
Okay. And he said, now it's not like that. We slowly crept up. And he said, so for all those years, Black women were feeling like it just wasn't enough men for them, their daughters or whatever, to have for themselves. He said, it wasn't true. He said, they always were plentiful. But it was at that point where you say to yourself, where are they? Where are they? Well, they knew that. So think about all the people who knew in power that knew that Black men outranked Black women.
That's why they broke their necks to incarcerate and shoot them down in the streets so that that wouldn't be the case. I saw one where a Black man, there's some woman who talks a bunch of crap about not being submissive or not submitting. And so somebody came on her TikTok and said, I wish I would run across you. So it was threatening. Ominous statement that he said. He didn't say I'll rape you or whatever, but he sort of implied it. And a Black man came on and stitched it and said, wait a minute, brothers, it's time to step up. And, you know, was calling the brothers to task. But I think that Black men, I think that Black women themselves, I still have some of this stuff on my DVR from Love and Hip Hop or whatever from when I used to watch that. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting around saying, calling each other B and calling themselves a B and we bees. There is something of a disconnect in the minds of African Americans where they do not seem to understand that when you devalue and disgrace yourself, you give permission to everybody else to do that. And that is exactly what popped in my mind when that guy just, like, you're not even worthy of speaking to me, and kicked her in her face. Like, how dare you be? That's how we're presenting ourselves to the world. And that's how they're seeing.
It's not a right thing. It's not a thing where you can say, well, they do it, we do it, so that makes it right for them to do it. Because I get that argument too. But when going back to the guy who kicked her down the escalator, that starts from the basketball coach who called the Black girls nappy headed hoes that time.
Right. It's a whole mentality.
He said out of his mouth, I hear y'all say it to each other all the time. Now I say it, it's a problem. And I felt bad for him because I said he was right. We do that to each other.
White women call themselves and each other's cunts. I don't hear the white men calling them cunts.
But there's a respect There's a respect that they make sure they hold themselves to. We don't even hold ourselves to that. We don't even say, hey, Kim, hey, Tor, hey, B, I see you looking like you're cute, B. And then we let everyone else know, no, but you don't get to say it. We still, it's like, no, you go on and say it to her. She don't mind. It's like we throw off that same energy. So now when so-and-so hears me say she's a cute B, they think that they can say that. It's like, no, if I use it as a term of endearment, you don't get to flip it and make it a bad thing. You but know, even
bigger than that, because sometimes we're using it and it's not a term of endearment. And sometimes our men are using it against the boys are using it against our girls. The men are using it against us. And it's not a term of endearment. And what I want our people to understand is we have to respect ourselves so we can make others respect us as well.
Have you heard a Black man say, and I actually heard what you were saying, but have you ever heard a Black man say, I take my bee to so-and-so to eat and I keep my bee dressed in Gucci and no, bee meaning.
I don't deal with men like that. I mean, I'm not sure maybe I've seen it
on the videos and movies and stuff. Have you heard them like on social media say that? Like I've heard
guys. I haven't, but I wouldn't be surprised because that's how they refer to us. B is synonymous with Black woman now, to the point where you can't say.
It doesn't bother you? I don't see the argument.
They say it on TV now, where it's like it's not even beeped out. They just say the B word, like it's okay.
But that's my point. When I read the comments, I'm not hearing anybody say, first of all, who are you calling a B? You know, I mean, that's what
like we used to. Remember that's how we used to be?
Yes, Queen Latifah, who you calling a bee? I put your head in his eye. Like, you don't understand. I have a problem with all kind of words that diminish a woman. I don't play wifey. I remember my husband tried to call me wifey one time to his friends, and I shut it down. Like, you lost your mind? Because you can have a wifey, but she won't have your, this won't have your last name. This won't be, you won't have me, because I'm not a wifey, I'm a wife. With all the tales that come to it. Like, you're not going to take my title and diminish it because you're uncomfortable with it. So if you're uncomfortable with saying, I make sure my wife wear Gucci, I make sure my wife eat at the finest restaurant, but you got to tear her down by calling her a bee? Like, I keep my bee dressed. That's your wife and the mother of your children.
I'm not even sure they realize that they're degrading and dehumanizing because it's become so second nature, like calling a Black man the N-word. They just call us B's and N's. I actually think we talked about this in our last episode. I think we need to spearhead a group to protest, just protest all the music, just protest it because our kids are hearing it every day and they're internalizing it. And so is the rest of the world. So even in Africa, they're looking at African Americans a certain way based on how they see us portrayed in the media, in the rap videos, in the songs. We've got to take control over that. It's destroying us.
And it's like two things that when you were saying that, I was thinking of how if we don't, well, there's a group that contacted me on Instagram and it's this lady, she's an artist. And we're going to try to work something out where we can do a whole Zoom thing. And I would love for them to come on. I'm going to actually ask her, can we all just do this? Because someone called Michelle, this happened a long time ago, called her a man or say she was, they tried
Michelle
to start.
Obama?
Yeah.
I've heard she's a tranny, all kind of stuff. Yeah.
But
Joan
then
Rivers says she's a transvestite.
Well, we all know what happened to Sister Joan. But
Well, she got killed right after she said that.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So it lets you know it's a higher power somewhere that don't play some things that you ain't supposed to do and say. So this Black guy said this and the Black sister heard it. And she was like, okay, his name is _KILLAAA_. So all these women went to his page and basically it's shut down now because they went to his page. He's like, who do you think you are? You as a Black man, why would you? He's like, oh, I wasn't saying, no. What would make you that comfortable wanting to belittle one of the highest ranked women we've ever had in the United States of America in our day and time? Like, regardless of what you feel about her political, as a woman, as a mother, as a wife, what would make you feel like as a Black? So that's where it stems from, you kicking us in an escalator, down an escalator with no remorse. because you don't even fear the fact, because you feel like if your black man don't care about you, why should I?
Your black man has taught me that you have no value, and I'm going to go with that.
And so that's what breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart because I feel like I heard their breaths. Like, you as a sister, y'all want us to walk down the street and fight every man that disrespect you and disrespect us. We don't want that. That's not what we asking for. We just asking for you to support us. You know what I'm saying? We get it. We don't want you losing your life to fight for us. We're not asking for that, but we asking for you to stand up for us, which means if you standing up for us and you showing us the utmost respect, it's gonna be real hard for them to think that they wanna mess with something they see in you respect. You respect that car. You respect that car, don't you? You dare somebody scratch your car up. You dare somebody, you know, do something wrong to your car. You protect that. That's why you don't see no white people out there messing with your cars. No, they don't. They don't mess with a black man's car because they know then just maybe you might get touched. Just maybe.
Unless with their tennis shoes. I mean, there's certain things they're just not going to do because those are the things the black men value. And these are like a segment of men. Because there is a segment of conscious or just grown men who know that this is not acceptable behavior and who do not treat us or our girls this way. But there is the bulk of African American men are like acting like that, and it's not okay. And particularly the young men. And that was a young man. That was a young man who did that.
Absolutely. And this is the group that I really want to be a part of. And was like, you know, listen, we've been hearing your stuff on, you know, Instagram and YouTube and, you know, our podcast, Kicking It with Kim and Tor. And she reached out to me and she was like, I've been trying to get some sisters together because we've really got to. And every sister in here agreed with this one sister who said, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but we got to stop hating on one another first. We got to start uplifting one another first. And I feel like we do it, but we don't do it in abundance. It's always something backstabbing from it. You know, and you watch those reality shows and you see these beautiful women, right? And the next thing you know, you find out one is sleeping with one husband, almost like the Portia thing. You know, you have this sister invite you into her house. Y'all know each other's business. Now Portia's marrying her husband once they get divorced. And it's like in Atlanta Housewives.
Portia's marrying whose husband?
One of the girls who was on the show, I think it was last season, just this past season, she was on the show. She was married to an African guy. And the African guy and her ended up getting a divorce for whatever reason. I guess he said she cheated or he found out she was, I don't know. But anyway, Portia had been in her house, swimming in her pool. And now she's marrying her man and pregnant with him. Like, to me, that's some, and everybody's okay.
Low.
Everybody's okay with it. Everybody's like, well, she wasn't really her friend. Are you kidding me? Sister, you was in the sister's house. Like, to me, I feel like
that's not okay.
Place in a dark, fiery place for people like that. I have no respect for Portia after that. Like,
really. Also, I think that a lot of us will be wanting to do better by each other and saying straighten that sister's crown without letting anybody know and uplift your sister and all that. But there's something about the way we were programmed. It's ingrained in us somehow that there's a competition, that sister can't look better than us, that sister can't do better. Man, big up her. If she's succeeding, that's confirmation that you can succeed. So instead of looking down on it or competitive about it, take it as something powerful for you so that you can be happy for her too. Because what I don't want to do is walk around seeing my sisters as my competition. But I think that there's been some training for that.
Well, do you remember when I called you last week after we came back from, I think we were at the casino. And I told you how I was treated by my sisters. Mm-hmm. And I called them my sisters because they are black women. Mm-hmm. And I felt like when I walked in the room, I know what I had on. A t-shirt, some little short shorts, my little flip-flops, my hair wasn't even really done. It was nothing off the top that you could have even snared at me for. And I got the worst dirty looks. And I was so upset because I kept thinking, I don't have anything that you want. You see me in a relationship, you see me with a guy, and you thinking, what? Why her? Look at me. I look better than her. Why does she get to have a man on her arm and I don't? Like, dude, the world is yours. Like, I don't just limit myself. Like, God forbid anything happened in my marriage, anything. I'm not going to just limit it to being with, you know, my own race. I'm not going to limit it to being with just people in the United States. Like, get the heck out. Go travel to Africa. Go travel to Brazil. Go travel to Spain. Find somebody, but don't look at me as your competition because I'm here in front of you. Like, are you kidding
me? I think that group that you're affiliated with and things like that, we just have to start training the same intensity that they use to try to train us to convince that we're all competitors. We have to begin to just help our sisters see that we, every one of us that's lifted up lifts all of us up. And that's,
but how do you train a Portia who comes into your house, swims in your pool, you invite the sister over for a day of fun and relaxation at your mansion, and the next thing you know, she's going behind your back?
Well, some people have to be kicked out of the sisterhood, but our time is up though. But that's just so beyond the pale of anything that's acceptable as a human being. Forget about just being Black. Who even does that? That's despicable. And I don't even know what to say to that. But for our last topic, it is, I saw a Native American woman come on TikTok appealing to Black people to help them. She said that the government, somebody has passed some bill that would allow them to come into Native American homes and take their children out. And if this is allowed to happen, this will be the final destruction of them. And so now they're calling upon Black people and Black Lives Matter and whatever it is that we have to come and help save them. Now,
children out of house without, are you kidding me?
See, that thing is so complicated because on the one hand, I think that a lot more of us are Native American and are not descendants of slaves than we recognize. Mm-hmm. I think the people here were copper colored, as all the old explorers journals show. And that means that many of us were already here. On the other hand, so we have some affinity to them. On the other hand, I'm well aware that when they passed those Native Tribal Lands Acts, a lot of those Indian tribes kicked us out so that we could not partake in that money that they get now for those casinos. How dare you separate yourself from us and kick us out? And I don't know that they describe, I don't know really any Native Americans other than ones among my family who claim tribes and stuff. So I don't know how, I don't even know if they're $5 Indians, because remember they were allowed to pay, white people pay $5 and get put on the Indian rolls. Yeah. And most of the people we see look like $5 Indians. I've even said it about one of my own great grandfather. I'm like, they keep telling me he was full-blooded Indian. He looks like $5 Indian, I'm sorry to say. Yeah. So, you know, I just thought the audacity of you to come on here trying to get us to help you. I don't know if they discriminate.
You understand that when you didn't want to split them profits from them casinos.
Right. And now you want us to help you? I mean, like, how come? I don't even get it with these people. I don't know. It just made me feel the way, like, are they kidding me right now?
Yeah, we're like, you cannot even ask the drowning man to save you. Like, how?
That too. We're barely treading water. And now we're going to drop all the issues that are confronting us and run over and save you. And where were you?
Because we
like
do that.
Stevie Wonder said, where were you when I needed you?
Yeah. Where were you when I needed you?
Yep. I don't know. I mean, I don't want them to be further genocided. I don't know that that's
no,
what you know what I'm talking about. But at the same time, it just felt so inappropriate.
Like I said, how can a drowning man save anybody when he's trying to save himself? It doesn't happen like that. That's not, you can't, if you can't swim and you jump in the water to help somebody who's drowning, it's just not going to look good in the end. Like, we are not swimming at all. As soon as one of us make it, they find a way to take it all away from you. And that's what makes me, and I just literally made this comment on, I think it was TikTok the other day to someone. I said, this is you keep saying, oh, you can do anything. And because it was an Asian guy, he's a multimillionaire, he's 23. And he's like, in America, you can be anything you want. You can do. I said, do you stop saying that? I said, that is such a clicky thing to say. And I wish you would stop that cliche, you and everyone else. It's not true. You cannot. I said, you can only reach a certain level before you break the glass ceiling with Black people. And you can tell us how to make it.
Maybe not for that Asian man, but for Black people.
Black people, and I had to tell him that. I said, listen, you can tell us how to make it, and I want you to say that, but don't keep saying you can do anything you want, because you're selling a falsehood. We can do every single thing you're doing. There is a Black woman right now who's on Remy Ma's show, and I follow her on Instagram. And
oh, I forgot she has a podcast with Joe Budden.
She has a podcast, and she has a show also on TV where she talks about these girls who went to jail for white collar crimes. Okay. Black women. Okay. Black women who went to jail for white collar crimes, and they were multimillionaires. But they're admitting that what they were doing was wrong. But what they
white people doing, do it and go to country club jails and come out in 6 months.
Listen, Lehman Brothers. 6 months, no. She said 6 weeks after Chris Christie put her behind bars for 10 years, Lehman Brothers collapsed. $117 billion was lost, and not one person went to jail. The same company that sent her to prison.
That's how America is.
Company that sent her to prison. The same company that sent her to prison was doing the same exact thing, and that's how it got
on a wide scale basis. Who at Wells Fargo has gone? I don't know. I'm asking you, who at Wells Fargo went to jail for all those subprime mortgages?
No one. Got
all those Black people evicted from their homes. This is America. It's never fair. So when we're having certain conversations, and I'll be like, what? They never treat us the way they treat them. Mm-hmm. And it makes it hard for me to treat them the way they want to be treated because, you know, I don't want to be like
houses. She learned how to flip houses back in the early 90s, like 89, 90. She found, you know, she had a real estate license. She went, you know, sell this house that fell through. That was $1 million house in Jersey. She ended up getting it appraised for $2 million. So she was able to take that $1 million, put some into fixing it up, and then triple selling it. And then she was buying even more properties. Then she brought a team in of Black folks, and they weren't doing the right thing.
What was she doing that was illegal? Because it's not, unless you're using straw man purchases and stealing people's equity, it's not illegal to flip.
No, no. She was using people's good credit to buy these homes. So she knew that, like, she would say to me, Tori, you have good credit, right? And I'm going to get you a nice house. But what I need you to do is use your good credit to help me buy this $2 million house that I'm going to sell for $4 million.
And then I'm going to help you get a house.
And then I'm going to help you get a house.
But then, of course, she never would help you get a house. And she probably fricked up your credit with that whole transaction.
Exactly. And so it started trickling down. And she didn't do it that way. She did it the right way, but her team would screw me over. So her team would be doing the exact same thing she was doing, but wouldn't give me my house, wouldn't give me my money, and wouldn't be paying off the house that they bought with my credit.
And that's a straw man transaction. When I was a administrative hearing officer for DC, there was another guy who was one as well. And his wife was big in the DC government, and he had gotten an appointment to a particular board, but then it came out he had gotten censured, and I don't know, because he was doing those kinds of transactions. He sold himself down the river for pennies because he actually wasn't doing the transaction. He was serving as the title attorney. But we can't protect, as a lawyer, you can't participate in something like that. So you probably got, I guess they paid him extra to turn a blind eye, but he ended up, I don't know what ended up happening to him, but of course they wouldn't let him get on that board. And I'm sure he probably lost his license and maybe even ended up in jail. I didn't follow the case, but I've seen people do that, and they use a fake name sometimes, and they were depriving people of their homes. It's really bad.
The bank is the one who showed her and told her what she needed to get these things approved. So she kept a record of everything, and she gave it to the people who matter, but they still didn't go after them. they only went after her. And Chris Kohnberg was the lowest form of American that he'd ever seen.
Look at how it works, though. That's what white people do. They've been stealing mm-hmm. our land, stealing our homes, stealing our inventions, stealing everything we have without mm-hmm. any consequences. And they've been doing it forever. That's what they do. The thing is, don't let us try to turn around and do it because it's a problem.
I literally had this conversation with someone and it was on my job. Like, I was using this coupon for this mother. And she came in to buy her kids school clothes, and she had big sons because, you know, it's a tall man store. So she had these big sons. Clothes are astronomically expensive for her. Mm-hmm. So I used this coupon, which was you buy over $300 worth of stuff, you get $80 off. So I was like, I can use this coupon on, you know, two bulk. So let's do two different transactions, you know. And she was like, OK, I said, because I can only use it once, but I have two coupons. I said, so this is going to be over 300, this is going to be over 300. So I'm using this coupon of 160 on, you know, two separate transactions. She's like, oh my God, thank you so much.
Yeah, that's a big savings.
But the guy behind her was like, now, you know, that's not right. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to break up the transaction. I said,
where's that rule?
Yeah, I said, what is that rule? He's like, well, ethically, you're not supposed to do, because you're basically set to lay. I said, sir, let me just tell you something real quick. The way you learn your history in the United States now, I don't think anybody better ever tell me not to do anything to help somebody else.
Ooh, Minister Farrakhan went in on Mike Wallace like that when he called Nigeria the most corrupt country ever. And he was like,
you have no moral authority. You have no moral authority.
But that brings us back to the Indians too. I mean, I have to say, I feel for them, and I feel that I'm a big part of them, but they don't accept me. They don't recognize me. They had their land stolen. They had all the buffalo killed. Then you show me something where they had big salmon killed and chestnut trees. And so all the food that was plentiful to them was taken away by this government. So those people would be dependent on this government. I do feel sorry for them, but I just don't know, like you said, that we're the people to save them. We can save ourselves at this point.
Do you know when you just brought that up about how the, you know, they used to be the big chestnut trees, my grandmother, which I wish I'd saved this picture. I remember she having this picture in our house of this big, huge tree. I could not lie to you and tell you I knew it was a chestnut tree. Maybe now I do know. But inside of the tree was a full-blown house with stairs that went like, and you might have even seen that picture before too, just never realized it. But it was stairs going this way, stairs going this way, stairs going this way. And each level was a bedroom. And inside of the tree was a home. And so those trees used to be not only homes for birds or whatever, or wildlife, but humans used to live inside of these trees that grew like this, you know?
You know, when I went to Gambia with my children the second time, we went to an island called Daranka Village, mm-hmm. and we went inside a tree that was hollow. It was alive, but it was hot. There were benches in there, and they said they used this tree to teach the youth and to put them through initiation rites. And so it really makes sense to me. Crazy. And also, now this is a little bit off topic, but also, it bothers me because those are the kinds of things we used to do that allowed us to live for free. We should not be paying these people $1 million mortgages and buying water out the tap and paying for air and maybe air. I don't know. But we should not be living the way we live now, going to the grocery store and buying fruits and vegetables that came from Chile and Mexico when we can grow it right here. We're not living right. We're not living close enough to the land. And it's stressing us out because we're buying into their monetary system that's just fiat money made up, worth nothing. And somehow they roped us all into their system and it's killing us. It's killing us.
But think about what you just said. You said we're going to the stores buying stuff, we're buying $1 million homes. Think of the person who said, don't cut the tree down, we need the tree. Let's build our home inside the tree.
That's what I'm saying. That's what we're supposed to do.
You still have the beautiful tree, the forest, and everything this tree is going to bring to earth.
And it's free.
It's free.
And then you go to the lake nearby, and you get your water, and you get some fish, and then you go over and get some wild berries, and then you grow a little maize. Native Americans grew corn. I mean, whatever. I want to live like that. I mean, I have enjoyed the life that I busted my behind to create, but I want to get away from that. I want to just go live on the land. Child, they can have this civilization.
There's a sister who just packed up and did this. I actually need to send you her stuff too. She was getting chicken of the forest off this log. And she was like, this is different from the other type of mushrooms. I think it's called jack-o'-lantern mushroom. She was like, they grow in like a hump shape. And she was like, see, once you learn how to hunt and do that, and I'm just looking at her and thinking, and she was all natural. She was like, I only eat what I grow. I only eat, you know,
I should be having some tomatoes to trade with you for some zucchini. Yep. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. I think that a lot of us are going to get to that by force by the time this system finishes collapsing. And I just hope that we can
Our lifetime too. I think it's going to happen in our lifetime.
I do too.
Can't withstand, because even if you, like I told myself, even when I step away from it, because it becomes so toxic to me, just seeing how bad the world is around us, and I step away, I still feel it. You know, I still feel
you step
like
away from media or from what?
Everything. When I step away from the media, when I only like eat fruits and not fruits, but vegetables, only eat vegetables and drink water. And I like acidic things. So I drink LaCroix. So I'll try to not even drink that, but I'll step away for like a week or so and just literally just eat vegetables for 1 week and drink water for 1 week and don't listen or take anything toxic in. I still feel like the world is coming around, you know, collapsing around me. I still feel it.
It is. And we're living artificially, and we're out of time. But the thing that they did to try to destroy us, destroyed their system. They showed people, you don't really need to go to work every day like that. People don't want to go back. A lot of companies are looking for employees. I think that helped to bring about the collapse of their own system more quickly than they thought. All that extended lockdown, it helped people to realize, man, this is a setup.
How are we surviving when we're not supposed to survive? They realize they can survive.
Right. And so more of the same. I hope we do even more of it. But anyway, I just want to end because I think that my opinion was a little callous. I do care about what happens to Native Americans. I do think that many of their ancestors are my ancestors.
Oh, yeah.
But I just don't know that that's the way to go about fixing whatever's wrong.
I mean, you have a beautiful heart, and I know that you care about what happens to anyone, you know, but at the end of the day, we can't fight somebody else's fight when we are still trying to win our own battle. We haven't won a war yet, so you have no ill will over here when you speak your mind about, look, I'm sorry, I could care less about that right now. I have to focus on this. There's nothing wrong with saying that, at least, and not in my book, it isn't.
Well, thank you. And we'll see if someone disagrees, drop a comment. I'm sure I can take it. But this episode comes to a close now, and we thank you all, as always, for taking the time out to be with us here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for kicking it with Kim and Tora. And come back next time, like, subscribe, and definitely pass it on.
Good night.
Good night.